Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday, July 15, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room. I'm your host. Back on the show today, Owen Schroyer with you for the next 3 hours, the fastest 3 hours on the internet starts now. Donald Trump is live in Pennsylvania right now addressing AI. I told the crew to monitor that. We may pick it up. We may not. Let me just tell you what we have come today. A huge video list. Almost 30 videos we're going to get to. And I got this stack of news dealing with the latest drama in the Epstein debacle. And it's kind of, it's past the point of no return where the Trump administration can try to do damage control, which is what they're trying to do. And they're trying to do some good PR now that it's just such a disaster. But really, it's too little too late. And the only way to course correct now is to just come out full transparency, full reveal. That's the only way to restore faith and try to start mending back together what damage has been done because of this absolute disaster. I'm not sure there's any real interest in that, especially considering what happened last night. But it certainly puts us into a new bizarro world, a new political bizarro world that I'll be addressing. Then you have the situation in Ukraine, which has been another disaster. And I'm noticing that people are not really talking about what this disaster with the Ukraine policy has been because they're so distracted dealing with the Epstein disaster still. But no, what happened in the last, say, 48 hours or so with Trump's policy on Ukraine has been another disaster. And my sneaking suspicion that the world does not view President Trump as they once did, I think is confirmed with the latest development there. So whatever leverage and power brokering Trump could do in the past with the respect he got around the world or the fear, whatever it is, it seems it has faded with the latest developments in the Ukraine policy. So I'll explain that. We do have a couple guests today. We're going to have a former Pentagon staffer on who's going to talk about some weirdness that was going on there once the Trump administration took over. We may or may not have Jake Shields in studio. He just got off air with Alex. He was on air while I was in studio, so I didn't get a second to talk to him. But I've invited him to come on if he wants to come on. And we may do some politics. I was kind of wanting to just talk to him about just men's issues, just culture stuff for men, and what advice you would give to young men, because you just don't get enough of it. If you're a young guy listening to this, I know we have a lot of young men that listen to this in their 20s, in high school, college. I don't really do that stuff, but I feel like that'd be a good conversation for Jake. So we may or may not be doing that. And then we just have some other developments here with Trump in Pennsylvania, talking about AI. And so, you know, I understand from Trump's perspective what's going on here. You've got the tech bros taking over, as I've talked about before, and that's what's going on. And they've got all the capital, and they've got all the future capital. And so they've had a lot of influence on this administration, not necessarily policy-wise, but as far as Trump promoting AI, wanting to make America AI dominant. Again, I understand where he's coming from with this. It seems common sense. It seems like, yeah, we might as well do this instead of China. The problem is we're racing into this AI world and we're just not having the proper conversations about where it could go. So Trump just sees big business. Trump just sees America booming in an AI age and wanting to be the center of it. And you know, China's probably not really thinking about the consequences necessarily either. But who is, as we're racing into this? Have we really considered the dangers of AI?
our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue exclusively at thealexshowstore.com has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
News is literally coming in as we go live here with Pam Bondi just, well, I would say offering a statement on the Epstein debacle, but instead refusing a statement. This just happened. The crew's bringing that clip in. And then we got some developments as far as the relations with Dan Bongino and the rest of the administration, which you can totally understand Bongino's frustration. And then, you know, there's a lot of rumors. People made some pretty, let's say, conclusive statements over the weekend about Bongino that haven't come to fruition yet. They've since deleted those posts on social media claiming that he was gone. So I don't know what the real story is. He was at the FBI building yesterday, it looked like, with his family. Maybe he was doing a goodbye tour, farewell tour, or maybe things are just fine, as Trump is indicating, or maybe not so much. So these are developments happening right now. But there's something really strange happening in American politics, and I'm just calling it political bizarro world, where you now have the right wing and the Republicans that are doing everything they can, everything in their power to stop the Epstein files from coming out. And you have the left wing and the Democrats. They are now the ones leading the charge to get the Epstein files released. Now, I'm going to tie this into some of the other developments today, including statements from Trump. But how bizarre is this? How bizarre is this? I'm tuning in to CNN last night. I'm tuning in to MSNBC last night. And you know what their big lead is? You know what all their guests are talking about? They're talking about the Epstein files. They're talking about getting the Epstein files released and how the Trump administration is covering them up. Then if you watch Fox News, which they don't even want to talk about it, they won't even talk about it. I don't know if that's an order that's been given, but then Laura Ingraham dares to say something about it, and she just says it's time to move on. So, hey, look, I give credit to Laura Ingraham. You know, she got her job in network news, and she knows how to keep it, even if that means, you know, doing some damage to her own reputation. Oh, yeah, Michael Savage, I'll get you on the show. Never did. Oh, MAGA, it's time for you to move on from Epstein. No, it's not. But hey, she's making her millions of dollars at Fox News, so you got to do what you got to do. And then you have people like Dinesh D'Souza telling you the same thing, people like Charlie Kirk telling you the same thing. You have the Republicans last night. Republicans moved to block Democratic effort to force release of the Epstein files. So they try to, in the Rules Committee, try to force the declassification, try to force the release here, and it's Republicans blocking it. And I'm just like, what in the hell is going on? Did we not just live through a campaign with President Trump doing podcasts talking about releasing the Epstein files, including another clip that I've got here today, where it looks like Fox News may have edited it, but I'll get to that in a second. So, the Trump administration with Dan Bongino and Kash Patel and Pam Bondi all talked about the Epstein files. Patel specifically said it needs to be released day one. They all talked about it being foreign intelligence asset and blackmail and the whole thing. And we just went through the entire election cycle. We just watched the whole campaign, and that was a top issue. A top issue. And I love all of these people. Oh, Iran strikes was on the agenda. Iran strikes is what you voted for. No, it's not. Go watch the Trump podcasts from the campaign. How many people asked him about striking Iran? How many people asked him about the Epstein files? So stop it with that lie. Stop it with that propaganda. So this was a big issue for the right wing. This was a big issue for Trump's base. This is a huge issue for MAGA. We just talked about it on an entire campaign cycle. And now you're just told, move on. And it's the left. It's the Democrats saying to release the files. It's the Democrats saying the right's covering up. The Trump administration's covering up. It's the top story on MSNBC and CNN. They're bringing in all the expert guests. The Democrats in Congress are trying to get it released. What in the hell world did I just wake up in? And then you watch the MAGA groupies, the Trump groupies, that just do whatever they're told. And they're all saying, move on to, nothing to see here. And I'm just like, what political bizarro world did I just wake up in? By the way, late last night, the Rules Committee could have sent the motion to the floor to release the Epstein files, and the Republicans blocked it. Here's the six Republicans in the House Rules Committee that blocked it. Virginia Fox, North Carolina. Michelle Fischbach, Minnesota. Aaron Hochin, Indiana. Nick Langworthy, New York. Austin Scott, Georgia. Morgan Griffith, Virginia. And for whatever it's worth, yes, they all take AIPAC money. But really, I don't think that that's a fair, because I see that and I see people posting the AIPAC payouts that all of these representatives got. But the truth is, you could go do the same thing for the Democrats that voted to release the files too. So I don't really think that one plays here. I understand why people would want to play that card here, but I don't think it plays. Because you can go look, the Democrats that voted to release it, they all take AIPAC money too. So why would the Republicans block this? And what political bizarro world did I just wake up in? But you know what it tells me? It tells me how easy it is to control both sides. That's what it tells me. It tells me how easy it is to control both sides. And yet again, it shows us how unique it is. And it's crazy to think that this is the case, but it is. How unique it is, how rare it is to actually have people that can think for themselves. You have limited freedoms in this world, but you can think freely. It's one of the one things you can guarantee. You can think freely. And yet some people don't do it. They don't want to think freely. So it's a crazy thing to witness how both sides can be controlled. And you can't, it's like, where do you even go find independent thinkers now? Where do you even go find free thinkers now? Where do you even go find independent media that's not willing to sell out? Well, right here. And I think we just prove it over and over again with this crew and this audience. who was there with us in 2015 and 2016 when everybody was trying to stop Trump and they launched all their attacks against Trump to stop him from winning the primaries, and then there we were and we won. Who was there in 2020 and 2021 when they decided they were going to shut down the country and shut down the economy over a flu virus with 99% survivability? They forced you to wear a mask. They forced you to take vaccines. Who was there thinking freely? Who was there pushing back against that? Remember how rare it was? And now here we are again with this Epstein debacle, and it's the same phenomenon. And I can't help but notice, because I just go back in my own memory bank, and I'm looking around me now in this isolated crowd of free thinkers, and I'm like, oh, these were the people on the same island as me, not the Epstein Island, the island of free thought. These are the people that were on the same island of free thought as I was in 2015 and 2016. Isn't that strange? Oh, then 2020, 2021 with COVID and the vaccines. These were the same people on the island of free thought with me in 20 and 21. Isn't that strange? And now here we are again, 2025, the Epstein debacle. It's the same people. And I made this analogy earlier, and it just continues to ring true. I really thought, and I'm over kind of the initial phase of thinking that our team can win a championship. It's just the only analogy I can think of that people understand. It's like you get into the new season and you're, oh, we can win a championship this year. We got a championship caliber team. We're going to win it. And then it's the all-star break. You're in last place. You're not even going to make the playoffs. So I've kind of already accepted that. So I'm not upset now that the team's not going to win the championship. It's just, okay, we've accepted it. Now you just take the wins where you can get them. And, you know, we're just going to cover the news here. We're just going to continue to bring the news. But it's just wild how rare free thinkers are, how rare independent thinkers are, independent news actually is. So it's just a reminder, and it's just consistently virtually all the same people. But what is this bizarro world? Kevin Spacey urges release of Jeffrey Epstein case documents. Kevin Spacey. Okay. All right. Megyn Kelly, Ben Shapiro clash over Epstein files. Well, you know, Ben Shapiro, he might be a Mossad asset himself, so he doesn't want his intelligence agency exposed. You know. He doesn't want that. But then there's Megyn Kelly, who, by the way, you know, look, Megyn Kelly says stuff all the time to get attention. She does stuff all the time to get attention, and it works. She's good at it. I'll give her credit. But a lot of people react to what Megyn Kelly puts out there, and then they forget it after a couple months when it never comes true. Like, she basically asserted that Epstein was alive and he was going to, I guess, testify. Remember that a couple months ago? She said, you're going to be hearing from Epstein soon. It's kind of like she came here, told Alex she wouldn't make, she wasn't going to do a hit piece on him about Sandy Hook. Then she did, and then the lawsuits came from it. Then she says, oh, Bongino is out, and other people report on it, and I don't know if it's happening or not. So it's hard to say that Megyn Kelly has some level of integrity throughout all of this. Or is Megyn Kelly just not letting go of the Epstein thing because she knows it's the popular thing to do, more so than the right thing to do? But when are we going to be hearing from Jeffrey Epstein, Megan, like you told people from your credible sources? Just curious. Just curious. So she's good at just saying stuff to get attention and then just burying it in time. So am I going to say Megyn Kelly is the example of integrity? Look, she's not letting go of the Epstein thing. Or is she just doing that because it's all about ratings for her? Either way, there's very few people now, because I guess people can't really even think about the future because they can't even think about the past. It's like part of the retardation of the modern age, where we're just constantly living through this digital world, constantly just in the now. What's latest on my feed and all this stuff. But you do realize that there is going to be a future without President Trump. You do realize there's going to be a future where people are going to look back and they're going to say, who was able to maintain their integrity and continue to talk about the Epstein case? Who was able to maintain their integrity and not stand up for a foreign nation's interests? How many people in the media left can even say that? MAGA mutiny takes intriguing twist after FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino threatened to quit over Epstein files. Well, again, do we even have any credible evidence of this? Now, I could obviously see why Bongino would be frustrated, because how does he go back to his audience without delivering on draining the swamp or even a specific issue like the Epstein files that he talks about with his audience all day long? This is the guy who writes books about the deep state. This is the guy who had one of the top talk shows in conservative media addressing the deep state criminals and Epstein and everything else. How does he go back to his audience with nothing? So he might figure, like Jen Psaki figured, the longer I stay here, the more I destroy my reputation. The longer I stick around carrying water for this corrupt city known as Washington, D.C., the worse it gets for me going back to my audience. So Jen Psaki realized, okay, if I sit around here lying for Joe Biden for 4 years, I'm cooked. I'm never going to get a job. Just ask Karine Jean-Pierre. So maybe Bongino realized the same thing. If I sit around here for 4 years with this corrupt operation, the FBI, and in this corrupt city, D.C., then how do I have any integrity? How do I go back to my audience? So maybe I should get out of here. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's going on behind the scenes, but I don't know. I don't know where the real meat and potatoes in that story is. You haven't heard from Bongino. Nobody else is addressing it head on, except Trump says he's doing great, whatever that means. Now, we got a lot of audio from Trump, but this is just... I just don't get it. He's asked about the Epstein files earlier today. So obviously the request for people to stop talking about it just hasn't worked at all. And Trump doubles down with whoever wrote up that post for him the other day, whoever wrote that up, whoever gave him these ideas for these talking points. He tries to double down on them and really has a major flub. And that's why you can tell this is not really Donald Trump. This is political propaganda. Because he flubbed up. He choked up. He didn't know what to say. He had to remember what the talking points were that he was fed. So that's how you know this is total political propaganda. This is not Donald Trump speaking. This is Donald Trump feeding you political propaganda about the Epstein files in clip 3.
No, she's given us just a very quick briefing, and in terms of the credibility of the different things that they've seen, and I would say that, you know, these files were made up by Comey, they were made up by Obama, they were made up by the Biden went through years of that with the Russia hoax, with all of the different things that we had to go through. We've gone through years of it, but she's handled it very well. And it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release. Yeah.
I want to play it one more time. And I think you can even see Caroline Levitt again. You know, doesn't have the best poker face. And even she kind of shows signs like her head goes down. She's like, oh, my gosh. Not again. You can even see some of the body language, I think, from Levitt. But listen again. When Trump has to go off this political propaganda talking point, oh, the files are discredited. Oh, they're Obama's files. Notice how he starts stuttering and stammering. He never does that. Donald Trump never does that. So why is he doing it now? Because, folks, he knows it's propaganda and he knows nobody's buying it, just like Caroline Leavitt right next to him putting her head down. It's so obvious. That's why it's even more ridiculous, these people carrying the water saying, oh, yeah, time to shut up. It's just like, don't you realize how bad you look? So just play it one more time. Go ahead.
No, she's given us just a very quick briefing. And in terms of the credibility of the different things that they've seen, and I would say that, you know, these files were made up by Comey. They were made up by Obama. They were made up by the Biden information. You know, we went through years of that with the Russia hoax, with all of the different things that we had to go through. We've gone through years of it. But she's handled it very well, and it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release. Yeah.
What does that even mean? It was created by Obama? No, it wasn't. Obama wasn't the president. You were when Comey got brought in, when Epstein got brought in. Donald J. Trump was the president. Bill Barr, whose father hired Jeffrey Epstein, was the attorney general when he killed himself in prison. What does that even mean? These were written by Obama. It's a total lie. So clearly someone said, okay, this is our propaganda. Whosever idea it was, you have embarrassed President Trump. You have embarrassed our country. You have embarrassed this administration. You have done damage perhaps beyond repair to the MAGA movement. Whoever did this told President Trump, all right, just blame it on Obama. Blame it on the Democrats. And I don't know if Trump is even thinking about it. He didn't even think to say, actually, you know, Epstein, he was brought in when I was president. Obama wasn't president. I was. My attorney general was the attorney general when Epstein killed himself. So what is it? How are we blaming Obama? It just don't matter. Just blame Obama. And then say about Russia, you know, and say it's like Russia. You know, say it's like the Russia thing. Oh, yeah, okay, they'll fall for that. They're stupid. So I guess they really do think you're stupid. Who's ever running this propaganda does think you're stupid. Think you don't even know how to use the internet. So it's just ridiculous. But I'm thinking, why? Why would they even be doing this? Obviously, they're trying to hide something. Obviously, they're trying to hide something. Now, if you even want to take this at face value, then what are we actually talking about? We're accusing people by name. He says Obama. He says Comey. We're accusing people by name of what? Committing a crime. Fabricating federal documents and court documents. That is a crime. So if you're really going to come out here and say, oh, they're editing documents, and so therefore it's not all credible, then where are the criminal charges? If they are editing the Epstein files, if they are editing the court documents, and this is what Trump is trying to sell us, and this is obviously what Bondi is either selling him or she's been told to go along with it, then where are the charges? If you're going to tell us that they edited the Epstein files for whatever reason, that is a crime and we want arrests. But they're not actually going to say that because they know they're lying to us. So the question is, why? What is it? Why is it that they're covering this up? Or have we repurposed the Epstein files for something else Trump is doing? That's your only two outcomes here, folks. Just be real about it. That's the truth.
When it comes to supplements, I am somebody that's like a same way that I am with a Mac user. I'm incredible at using a computer. I have no idea how it works. And I understand the effects and benefits of supplements. I use them, but I have no idea how they work. So like with Methylene Blue, for example, I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation. My wife has chronic pain in her lower back because she's been a ballet instructor for many years. And when she takes it, it goes away for 48 hours. What is actually the science behind why this substance is so powerful?
Your wife, she has kind of unexplained chronic mild to moderate lower back pain, right? Yeah. There's no injury there. There's no systemic problem. It just, it aches, it hurts, right?
Right.
So our cells have something called the Hayflick limit, right? So your cells, of the course of your life, they divide again and again and again. And around like 48 divisions or something is the number, around 48 divisions, it's not that you become like a Cronenberg monster and you start getting like cancerous tumors all over you, but we as humans, as we get older, we develop these things called senescent cells. Now, normally, if we didn't live in like a plastic and chemical infested hell pit, we would have a normal amount, and our improved lifestyle and modern living should be able to propel us to be like, we should all be 100 years old. But why are we all dying? Why is our life expectancy dropping? It's very simple. We live in an environment that's like 4 or 5 packs of cigarettes a day, on top of everything that everyone else is doing. We all drink out of plastic. We're all around all these carcinogens and whatnot. Everything in our environment is toxic. What something like methylene blue does is it is a very potent antioxidant to such a degree that it actually goes into the cell and takes the first oxidative stress agent that's produced, O2 superoxide, and turns it into water.
Really?
What it does, it's an alternate way for electrons to be given to the cell. So if you have cellular damage, like these senescent cells that have built up over time, and you have these mitochondrial energy pathways that just don't work anymore because the system is dysfunctional, the methylene blue can come in and do the broken job and actually heal something that was never thought to have been able to be healed.
Amazing. So that explains why it can help with things like aches and pains. Obviously, do your own research.
Do your own research. We're talking about like in vivo, in cellular studies. This is just what it does to the cell.
And is this the same mechanism that results in things like feeling like you have more energy and focus? Is it all as a result of this one thing that it does?
Definitely a part of it. They have other effects too on other receptors. For example, methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing methylene blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our methylene blue. Our methylene blue is incredible. I take it personally. I was taking methylene blue about like 2 months before this all happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, awesome. I want to come help with this because it's so cool.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
Yeah. I've noticed that it helps with focus, short-term memory, things like that. Have you noticed that it helps you get through the day too?
Big time. I mean, when you're looking at energy, this is boosting your own innate processes and making them work like they should. This is a shockingly statistically significant and effective metabolic compound that has been studied for almost 200 years. It's very powerful, very potent, and it's available. So you can get yours today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, we got some more Trump audio with the Epstein files and then the Ukraine situation, which is a totally different issue in the geopolitical stack of news today with some big developments there. But, you know, I was thinking about this last night and I was really trying to just codify my thoughts before I made a statement about it earlier today on X. And the truth is, even though the people that are just standing up for what's right and the truth and keeping their integrity and their principles throughout this Epstein debacle have been getting attacked by the establishment and the neocons and all the paid digital influence campaigns, and that's what it is. And you know, it's funny, too, like, these people are so dumb, or maybe they just don't care, but they're so dumb. Like, an example is, they went after Candace Owens when last week or 2 weeks ago she said, okay, I know there's a paid digital influence campaign to attack me going on. And then what happened? The paid digital influence campaign attacked her. And she said, okay, I'm going to put out a bounty. I think she gave someone $15,000 to deliver her the evidence of the paid digital influence campaign to attack her. So somebody took the money and said, here you go, here it is. Here's the messages, everything. And she reported it. It's like, do you think we're that dumb? Or do you just think, or do you just not care? Like, you don't think that we get access to this stuff? You don't think these same digital influence campaigns that are just, they're just flush with cash. They just pay out anybody. They're not even really that political. They just pay anybody. Anybody that wants a digital influence campaign can come in, offer them money, and then they pay out the people to promote whatever it is they're paid to promote. It's like, you really don't think we get access to that? Do you think we're stupid? Are you stupid? And as soon as Candace Owens did that, I said, oh, she's going to get the evidence. It's not even going to take 24 hours. She had it in like 2 hours. Just like, you really don't think we know what's going on when you attack us? So I was thinking about this. You know, oh, you're a panican. Oh, you're fake MAGA. All propaganda. All paid propaganda. And so I'm thinking about it last night, and I'm figuring out how can I codify this into an effective message, and I post it on X. And they do these things, you know, you're a panican or you're fake MAGA. And now they put out this thing, the Panican Creed. You know, just more attacks on you for maintaining your integrity. Just more attacks on you because you won't lick the boots of the government. More attacks on you because you won't carry political propaganda. So you're the bad guy here. And I'm just like, you know, we always complain, or you hear about the complaints, and we can all relate to it. How is it that Republicans can't win a lot easier? You know, what is that? The Democrats are an obviously anti-American, criminal, terrorist organization. I mean, racist, you name it. They like killing babies. I mean, it's like, how can we not beat that? How can we not beat a political party that's like five core values are anti-American, terrorism in the streets, criminal behavior, killing babies, open borders. I mean, the list just goes on and on. It's like, how can we not defeat that politically? What is wrong with us? And then now you get the reminder. Now you get the reminder. Why can't we just come together to beat the Democrats? Why can't Republicans just annihilate the Democrat Party politically? Now you get the remember. Now you get the reminder, because anytime the Republicans get a populist movement, anytime the Republicans are able to corral all the different independent thinkers, free-minded thinkers with kind of different ideas and concepts and stuff, it's like every time it's like, all right, we've got the coalition now. We just did it. We just won the White House, the House, and the Senate. It's like, all right, we've done it. Here we are. Now we can defeat them. And now you're reminded why Republicans lose. Because as soon as you start to think differently, as soon as you start to offer a different opinion, as soon as you start to take issue with a foreign policy, or as soon as you actually want to hold politicians accountable for the things that they said, you get attacked. You get attacked, you get thrown overboard, you become disenfranchised, and you don't vote Republican. That's why Republicans can't win. That's why we still deal with the Democrats. The Democrats shouldn't even exist politically anymore. And it's very likely they're about to take the House because of all this madness. And by the way, Rasmussen just came out with their latest poll. Trump's approval rating continues to plummet. Of course it does. It's been nothing but bad news since the Iran strikes. The Iran strikes were unpopular. The polls show it. Trump's approval rating shows it. The fallout with Elon Musk, the dirty sales techniques to get us to pass the big, beautiful bill, and now the covering up of the Epstein files. It's like, it's just like, but you get attacked if you try to stop it. Like, you get attacked for calling it out. And then it's just like, oh yeah, this is why Republicans can't win. So I thought that we moved the ball 30, 40 yards downfield in this political fight. Looks like we maybe got it 3 yards, maybe five. Maybe five. So here's Trump, though. This was on the campaign trail. By the way, you know, on that issue, Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Republicans are trying to do something about how the Democrats steal the House. And it might be the only thing that can save the House. It's not going to happen for this midterms, but perhaps in the future. If you get rid of all the gerrymandering that the Democrats have been doing for decades, you can actually stop them from stealing the House like they've done for probably like at least four elections in recent history, I'd say. They almost pulled it off with the last one, but they couldn't. But so that's how the Democrats are even competitive or win the House, is they just gerrymander and rig the whole thing. So the Republicans are trying to address that at the election level, which will be very important. But it's not going to save the midterms unless they push the pedal to the metal like rocket boosters to get this done. But it's the Republicans, so they're, you know, they're not going to do that. But here was Trump, and he was talking to Rachel Duffy, wife of Sean Duffy, who does great work, by the way, and so does her daughter. And they do have integrity. But this was from 2024 on the campaign trail, and he's talking about declassification. Now, I want you to watch this full clip, and then I'm going to replay a portion of it and ask if you noticed something when you watched it in its entirety. But he's asked about the Epstein files and more here in clip four.
Hey, the FBI, all those institutions.
Yeah, you're right.
Some people think that one way to build trust is to declassify things that everyone's talking about. I know you talked earlier about it. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. So if you were president, would you declassify? You can answer yes or no to these. Would you declassify the 9/11 files?
Yeah.
Would you declassify JFK files?
Yeah. Would you, I did a lot of it.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
All right.
I guess I would. I think that less so because, you know, you don't know. You don't want to affect people's lives if it's phony stuff in there, because it's a lot of phony stuff with that whole world. But I think I would, or at least.
Do you think that would restore trust? Help restore trust?
Yeah, I don't know about Epstein so much as I do the others. Certainly about the way he died, it would be interesting to find out what happened there, because that was a weird situation and the cameras didn't happen to be working, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I'd go a long way toward that one. The other stuff I would. I would definitely do the January 6th because, beyond all of them, because what happened. How about the Unselect Committee? They had meetings, you know, they had all Democrats.
I'm not going to sit here and make a big fuss about the 9/11 files. We'll save that for another day. The January 6th committee cover-up, nothing has really been done about that. Maybe it's time to start raising a fuss about that. The JFK files, I mean, they've released a lot. I think it's given us at least a clear enough picture to know that we were lied to and Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy. So they've released enough to at least give the American people some clarity on that. But they haven't rewritten the textbooks yet, if they ever will. Now, I'd never heard that before, but that is the first time I believe Trump ever saying, oh, there's something phony in there. Now, you have to ask yourself why. So he's obviously seen the files. Obviously, he's seen the files. How does he know there's phony stuff in there unless he's seen them? And if he's seen them and he doesn't want to release them, then again, you have to ask why. But if there's phony stuff in there, who put it in? Again, Epstein was brought in during the first Trump administration. And if they started editing stuff after Biden's inauguration, then how would Trump know, because he wasn't the president? How would he know that? Was he looking at the Epstein files when Biden was president? So none of it makes any sense. I'll be honest. It sounds like to me, and this is maybe why Elon Musk posted what he did about Trump and the Epstein files, it sounds like to me they've been anticipating somebody releasing something within the Epstein files to try and implicate Donald Trump. That's what it seems like to me. At this juncture, that's what it seems like to me. Now, I don't think Trump was running around with the minors. I don't think Trump was into the Epstein stuff. But I think maybe for Trump, even just being mentioned, even just having the, you know, the Epstein sex slaves or, you know, fake models, whatever it was, even them just mentioning that he was there might be enough for Trump to say, I don't want this to get out. Even if they were saying, oh, yeah, in fact, it was, I think it was Virginia Giuffre who talked about, like, you know, they knew who the predators were when they were at Epstein's events. Like, they knew who the predators were, and they didn't view Trump that way. It's like, oh, they might see Trump, but, like, they weren't scared of him. He wasn't a predator to them like some of the others might have been. So maybe that's what it is. Just him being even mentioned, even if it's positive, is too much. I don't know. But clearly, they are trying to get ahead of something, folks. I mean, it's just undeniable. But if that's the case, then there had to be a better way to handle all of this, and they just couldn't do it. Even if Trump would have come out and said, look, we've seen the files. I've looked at the files. I'm in the files. I rode on Epstein's jet. I wasn't aware he was a pedophile. I wasn't aware he was a creep. We hung out around a lot of the same people in New York. You know, billionaires, rich people hang out at the same stuff. They always had pretty women around there. I was doing beauty pageants. I didn't realize that they were recruiting these girls for whatever they were doing on that island. So I'm embarrassed. I wish I would have known. My name is on the list, but they're going to try to use it to attack me and destroy me if it comes out. But you want it, so we're just going to go ahead and give it to you. But see, it's just they can't even be honest about it, and so now it's just a complete disaster. And so they should have said nothing. They would have been better off saying nothing. Now, if you go back to the end of that clip, guys, I think maybe fast forward about 30 seconds in, and I'll ask the crew, I don't know if you guys noticed it. Did that sound edited to you? Did anybody catch that? See, when you work in audio and editing, these things are just like, you kind of just trick your mind and your body to like notice that stuff. Same with like video editing, all this stuff. It's like you can see a cut, you can see an edit. It's just like you just trained it. That sounded like an edit to me, which is ironic because Trump just won a lawsuit because of the 60 Minutes edit of Kamala Harris, but that looks like a Fox News edit of Donald Trump. Did you guys hear that? I want you to roll that one more time. Just fast forward probably about 30 seconds in. I think it'd be safe. I think it hits about 45 seconds. But it's right when he starts talking about the Epstein stuff. Guys, go ahead.
Yeah, I would.
All right.
I guess I would. I think that less so because, you know, you don't know. You don't want to affect people's lives if it's phony stuff in there because there's a lot of phony stuff with that whole world. But I think I would, or at least.
Do you think that would restore trust?
Right there.
Help restore trust?
Yeah, I don't know about Epstein so much as I do.
Maybe I'm reaching.
Certainly
about
the way. But
you know what? It sounded like a little, maybe a little edit there. Okay. So what is he talking about? Nobody knows now. Nobody trusts it now. The whole thing is a disaster now. We're not going to stop talking about it. And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene represents most of the base and the middle America that whether or not you think this is Trump's fault or somebody else's fault, a line's been crossed and the damage is now permanent. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene, clip 7.
How big of a blowback is there right now in MAGA world specifically?
It's pretty big, I have to be honest. It's just a red line that it crosses for many people. Jeffrey Epstein is literally the most well-known convicted pedophile in modern-day history. This is something that's been talked about by many people serving in the administration, myself and many others on the right and the left, of there needing to be transparency of the rich and powerful elites that were in his circle while he was just one of the worst serial abusers of young women. It has been a very serious situation for the administration, and many people are speaking out online. You've seen it. You saw it at Turning Point Student Action Summit this weekend. And a lot of people in MAGA, they really want to know more information about the people that were involved with Jeffrey Epstein. And is there a blackmail list?
You know, it's ironic. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is just spot on. And she's really separated herself from the swamp in the last couple of weeks as if she hadn't already. Which is strange to me. Why would Why would Laura Loomer attack Marjorie Taylor Greene but leave Susie Wiles alone? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll get to that later. But you know what's funny is, again, this is why you just have to go with honesty. And I wish somebody just would have told Trump, honestly, Donald, they'll forgive you. They'll forgive you for being on the list. They will. I don't think anybody thinks Trump was into the creepy stuff. I don't think anybody thinks Trump was into the immoral stuff. It's not a secret. Trump likes beautiful women. Okay? There's no surprises here. We already went through the grab her by the pussy tape. We've already gone through the fake rape allegations and convictions and everything else. Like, we've been through this. Honestly, MAGA would have looked at the list, and if Trump's name was on it, would have said, Trump, we forgive you, or we don't think you did anything illegal or immoral. But instead, you try to treat us like idiots. Instead, you try to insult us, and now you're adding the insult to the injury that is your approval rating, your poll numbers, the midterms coming up. You would have been better off just doing the full release, keeping your name on there, and just saying, there it is, you wanted it. You would have been 10 times better off. And if somebody's in your ear saying, oh, the media is going to run with it now. Oh, the media. So what? What are you talking about? The media has been attacking you for 8 freaking years and it doesn't work. Nobody trusts them anymore. You should have just been honest. Oh, boy. And so here's Bill O'Reilly. This is just hilarious, folks. And this is why it's so embarrassing for the people that are committing to this. Look at Bill O'Reilly, who's become almost completely irrelevant, losing his Fox News gig. I don't know. Again, is this people just trying to get like a doggy bone from Trump? Like, oh, wag the tail. Maybe I'll get a doggy bone. So here's him trying to reason with this complete disaster. And the host just completely embarrasses him. By the way, this happens twice in this same interview. I didn't send both to the crew, but just understand, this happened twice. The interviewer gave him a chance to correct it. The interviewer came back and said, okay, hey, you know, you sure you don't want to? And O'Reilly doubled down. So this actually happened twice. Here it is, clip 9.
How is he convicted? How do you convict
Epstein
a guy who's dead?
He was convicted in two, I believe, okay, under Merrick Garland's Justice Department. That could be. Am I wrong on that? I don't think so. And he was incarcerated, yes. And then he committed suicide. Okay. The suicide thing is bull. Whether you
I think this is important. He was arrested in 2019 and he committed suicide in 2019. He died August 10th of 2019. So the Biden administration was not involved in a conviction or a trial of him. They were of Ghislaine Maxwell.
Okay. And that's a good point of clarification. But he was arrested and indicted under Merrick Garland.
No, under Trump.
Who had all
under
of the
Trump.
Information.
Epstein was arrested, indicted, and committed suicide under Trump. In 2019, Trump was president. Merrick Garland was not the attorney general.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So I don't get it from Bill O'Reilly. Like, are you just falling for the propaganda? Like, how do you not know? It's like Pam Bondi in her 2000 and I think it was a night or whenever the Pam Bondi, I played it yesterday on the Alex Jones show, and she's on Fox News years ago before she was Trump's attorney general. And she says Ghislaine Maxwell multiple times in an interview. She's blaming the Epstein cover up on Merrick Garland. So maybe that's what Bill O'Reilly saw. Pam Bondi blaming it on Merrick Garland, even though it was Bill Barr who was AG when Epstein was charged again and killed himself in prison. That was Barr. That was Trump's attorney general. It's like, denial is a hell of a drug, man. Oh, I get it. So Pam Bondi, it's Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell. She doesn't even know her name. Bill O'Reilly, well, you know, he was brought in and charged under Merrick Garland. It's his fault. No, he wasn't. What planet do these people live on? So, it's like, what conclusion are you supposed to reach? Are they just that out of touch? Do they just not do the research? They just want to talk about it? Is it another like generational gap that they just can't fill in? They just can't touch it? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just this generational thing, and they just do not get it. They don't understand the cultural significance. They don't understand the political significance. It's Ghislaine Maxwell. Oh, it was brought in under Merrick Garland. You don't even know what you're talking about. How can anybody take you seriously? So now it's, oh, we're going to bring Ghislaine Maxwell in for testimony. Well, let's see if that happens. But I'll play that clip for Mike Johnson coming up in the short segment next, and then the Democrats with their political push to release the files. Again, we're in political bizarro world now. But you may recall the other day, and I was like, well, why would they even do this? It's another situation where it's like you're better off just shutting your mouth. Former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett says, I can assure you with 100% certainty that Epstein never worked for Mossad, no ties to Israel. So it's just like Epstein didn't kill himself. Nobody believes it. And I'm thinking, well, why would you even do this? So I'm thinking, okay, because I see all these accounts. And I see these all of these paid propaganda accounts and the digital influence accounts. And they're all posting the same thing. See, Epstein never worked for Mossad. It's a conspiracy theory. No evidence. They just make claims. No evidence. And it's like for the people that have been there and done the research, we know it's Ghislaine Maxwell, not Ghislaine. We know that Epstein was brought in again under the Trump administration, not the Biden administration. And we know of all the huge ties of Epstein to Mossad. Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, Israeli prime ministers going to Epstein's house. Like, give me a break. Oh, no evidence. So I'm thinking, well, wait, okay. So I was going to start posting the story. And these people that say there's no evidence where Epstein literally said, and I'm sure it was just a brag to these girls, because Epstein was probably a loser creep who just got brought in as like this underage sex slave pimp, probably being run by Maxwell. That whole power dynamic was probably Maxwell was running the thing. He was just the underage sex slave pimp that just ran all the blackmail operation and had all the facilities so he could be the fall guy. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get the proof and I'm going to show you Epstein used to brag about how he worked for Mossad. And he probably knew Maxwell was running the whole thing. And that's why she's maybe still alive in a prison right now. And I've gone long here. I'll show you on the other side. But I thought, why would they do this? Why would they come out and say, oh, Epstein never worked for Mossad, just to have the Streisand effect take over? And then I figured out what it was. And I'll have to show you that on the other side.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended. I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen, to maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to then tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike.
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep.
Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get
I think it's about the Wing Blue.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.